Please welcome Chris McKinney.
Well, Kirk was right last month when he said all he could think about with this theme was the song, Anticipation, which came out in 1971 when Richard Nixon was president. I don't know if he was anticipating Watergate yet, but it was right around the corner. In 1971, over 200,000 protesters marched on Washington, D.C. in anticipation of the end of the Vietnam War. And Disney World opened in Orlando to the anticipation of throngs of happy people. But in my own little world, there were some things to anticipate in 1971 as well. Primarily the birth of my second child. I already had a 14-month-old at home, and it was actually in April that we went to the hospital and my second child was born. Now, back then, the Lamaze natural childbirth method wasn't really in vogue yet, and the standard procedure was an epidural, which makes you numb from the waist down, and it's really kind of silly because you've done 90% of the work already, and then they give you the epidural. So because you can't push, oftentimes they would use forceps to help with the birth. So that was the case, which was, you know, no big deal. That's just the way it was back then. So we had a beautiful little baby girl, just a precious little face, full term. I think she was 7 pounds something. And she had a little mark on her earlobe, which the doctors said was probably just a forcep bruise. So we went with that, and shortly after she was born, I had a pain in my leg, and it turns out I had a blood clot. So they put me on blood thinners. I had to stay in bed, keep my leg elevated. And I kind of looked at it as just extra time to bond with my new baby before I went home to be with two of them. But because of the blood clot, I had to stay in the hospital a week instead of just a few days, which was also standard back then. This was 48 years ago. So unbeknownst to me, well, we had a three-bedroom ranch house at the time. And we had one bedroom. Our 14-month-old had the other, a little girl. And the other bedroom, or the other room, was served as our office. It was paneled in light gray, but it had red and black carpeting. And we thought, if it's a boy, that would be okay color scheme for a boy. But it was a girl. So unbeknownst to me, while I was in the hospital for this extra time, my husband transformed the room. But he didn't tell me he was doing this. He ripped out the red and black carpeting and laid down orange and pink shag. And he actually sewed curtains, pink and orange curtains, for the window. So after the hospital stay, when the blood clot was gone, and I took my baby home, our baby home, it was kind of like in The Wizard of Oz when, you know, he had the bedroom door closed. So it's kind of like when you open the door and it turns to color, because I had no idea what to expect. And here's this beautiful little feminine room, and he even had a stool set up with a pink velvet pillow so I could put my leg up when I nursed, you know, because I had to keep my leg elevated when I sat down. However, what the doctors thought was a little forcep bruise, the whole week I was in the hospital, every time they brought my baby in, I thought, God, is it my imagination or is that thing getting bigger? Well, by the time we got home, it had doubled in size. This was no forcep bruise. Turns out it was a hemangioma birthmark, and it was deep, deep purple. And because it was growing so fast, the skin was becoming really taut. And by the time she was a month old, it split and it started bleeding. And the doctors, nobody would touch it. They said, these things often can go inside at least as far as what you see on the outside. And laser treatments were, I don't even know if they existed back then, but if they did, they were so new. The doctors just said, you're just going to have to let this thing live out its life. Eventually, it will die out, and when she's fully grown, we can construct an earlobe with plastic surgery. So it was a rough first year, but the first few months, every time it bled, I mean, I couldn't nurse on that side. She couldn't lay on that side. And the doctor said, when it bleeds, apply pressure. Well, it hurt her, you know? So I had to push on this thing, and it was just really bad. And by the time she was 6 months old, she had developed a heart murmur because her heart was working so much overtime to keep this thing supplied in blood. But it was shortly after that that it started to fade, and it stopped bleeding. The heart murmur went away, and by the time she was two, it was just a big flap of scar tissue, kind of pale pink. And most of the time her hair hit it. I mean, there still are some self-esteem issues as a result of stupid adults who would come up to her when she was a baby and go, "Ooh, what's wrong with her ear?" right in her face. But anyway, when she was 16, she did indeed have two plastic surgeries to construct an earlobe, and everything's fine. And so that was, and in 1971, a little bit later after Wendy was born, we knew that we were going to try at least one more time for a boy, and we were going to stop at three no matter what. So I had my leg stripped because I had really bad varicose veins, and I thought maybe that will help and I won't get a blood clot the next time, even though I wore the compression hose with all three pregnancies and everything. So I had my leg stripped that year as well. So a lot of things to anticipate, but to quote one of the lines in Carly Simon's song, but I'll change it a little bit, those were the good old days.
Yes.